It's the sun. There we go. Good morning again. Hey, as we come back in and get started, just a public service announcement. This next Thursday is our last in this iteration of our transformational prayer class. This is our last week. And a lot of times at the end of that training, the idea, right, is then to start to have kind of some buddies and people to work that with and to practice and to be in that. So if you've been in TPM class before and you'd like to say, I kind of want to reinsert, practice some more, find some people that I could do this long-term with this Thursday, if you wanted to come, that'd be great. And there'd be a chance to meet folks that probably want to do the same thing. So just a heads up that that's an ongoing process. We don't view that as a, when life gets into crisis mode, I'll learn that. And okay, now that it's not in crisis mode, go back to how I normally live. It's really a pattern of how we live our lives every day. So, because my family's on Zoom, I'm going to say hi to all the Zoomers. Just good morning. It's good to be here. It's just good to let the Spirit speak and move, and it's exciting as we go through this series on the Trinity just to have our understanding of who God is hopefully deepened and widened and explored, hopefully in ways maybe you haven't before, or at least reinforced things that you already knew. The depths of God are unsearchable, but what's so amazing is that he shares and he reveals those things to us. And so as we explore who God is, that there's always more for us. And just yesterday, there was a longtime guy that's been in the M28 GCC world just sharing thoughts on prayer. And it was like this deep well that God had given him of all these thoughts. And I just was amazed at how limitless our journey really is for every single one of us. And so if you feel like you're stale or stagnant or like, man, yeah, I don't know, I'm just praying, God, open our eyes just to see there's so much more depth here. It's not this, you know, I walk with him for a couple of years and then I've learned everything I ever need to know and there's nothing ever new again. There's a person to know here that's limitless in relating. And how many of us in our marriage after 10, 20, 30 years, you go, I never knew that about you. Right? And you're finding things out and you're exploring and you're knowing. And that's the depth that God wants to take us, knowing him. So we are talking about Father, Son, Spirit. And today we're going to focus in on the Holy Spirit. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you hear Holy Spirit? Just shout it out. Wind. Not the animal, right? There's probably most of the teaching there, so good job. Yeah, the Spirit. And what I love is that more often than not, the word holy is almost always put in front of the Spirit. That the Spirit is a holy Spirit. It's a set apart, consecrated, of God Spirit. And so today I'm going to kind of share a little bit riffing off of some thoughts that Pat shared last week, and then just looking in depth, that the Spirit, you know, Francis Chan wrote a book called The Forgotten God, and it's about the Spirit, and just that we've forgotten the Holy Spirit. And I think in some cases, in some circles, for sure, probably that's the case. You know, the Trinity becomes Father, Son, and Holy Bible. And so the idea that God wants to live inside of us and be with us, and kind of these four words were really what God gave to me is just, what is the Holy Spirit up to? He's beautifying what Christ and the Father have made known. He's empowering, he's enlivening, and he's including. And that's what the Spirit is up to. When we can't see him, when we don't be able to touch any part of him, what is he up to? And so as you read the New Testament, there's lots of different words that come alongside the Spirit. And so often, like I said, it's usually Holy Spirit or Spirit of Holiness, Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Grace, the Spirit of Glory, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of your Father, eternal Spirit and helper. So those are just some of the words. So it's often put as Holy Spirit, but we could also just as soon say that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of grace. There's so many dynamics, and the character of Father and Son is the same character of the Spirit. So if we've seen Jesus, he says, we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father in character, in their being, and in the same way, the same heart of the Spirit is the same as Jesus's and the Father's. And so anytime, if we start to think, you know, like Pat said, mean one, nice one, weird one, or whatever it might be, it's like, no. If you think the Spirit's weird, then that means you also must think that Jesus and the Father are weird, because they're all united in that same character, and they're all emanating that same thing. And this is, to me, a really core part. John 13 through 17, huge portion of the Gospel of John, and it's explaining a lot of what will the church age with the Spirit look like. What is the Spirit? Jesus says, it's better for me to leave. So this morning, if we were ranking, okay, church service at Beggar's Gate, we could have Jesus personally show up, or we could have the Holy Spirit in our midst. And Jesus says, it's better for me that I'm leaving so that you could all have the Holy Spirit this morning. This is like a better gathering than if Jesus himself were here. Somehow, we believe that that is true. And yet it says, when the Helper comes, the Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And so there's this sending, and as Pat shared last week, that the Father is sharing all his good, all his love, all of his goodwill into Christ. He's pouring that down, and Pat gave us that beautiful image. I didn't take this picture. We also have to use Google search. Those pools overflowing, the Father pouring all of that into the Son, the overflowing love of God. And Jesus says that from the Father, proceeding from the Father, but Jesus is sending, so it's like the Father sent the Spirit to Jesus, and then Jesus is getting to send that to us. And it's this downward cascade to bear witness about Jesus. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard, there's an old hymn called The Love of God. And it really poetically helped for me to think of what these cascading pools, as the Father dumps all of his good and his love into the Son, and the Son pours all of that into the Spirit, and the Spirit then pours all of that into us. Just listen to these words, and just to explain that limitless, overflowing pool that the Father, Son, and Spirit want to share. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And it's just this beautiful picture of, we just do not have enough words in time and space to know the unknowable, full, infinite, limitless love of God that he pours out, Father, Son, into Spirit. And so what I kind of want to riff off of this analogy of the pools is a lot of times I think we can say, I understand the Father loves the Son and he pours all of that into him. And I'm viewing that from afar. I'm studying the Bible. I see that the love of God is poured out from Father to Son, and they have this intimate relationship. But I think a lot of times we stop by just looking at it. And if I can, the analogy to me would be, the Spirit is the one that's handing out swimsuits. Okay? The Spirit is the one that says, here's your pass. Here's some swimsuit. Jump in. Jump in and experience and live in and soak in that. So that it's not just an intellectual thing to see. Oh, I see the Father and the Son and their relationships. That's so cool. The Spirit says, And now it's your turn. Here's some swim trunks. Jump in. And I think a lot of us often, for different reasons, we resist jumping into that. We don't, in our day-to-day, experience that. But that's the Spirit's desire, is that we wouldn't just intellectually see that. We wouldn't just kind of sit on the edge and say, ooh, the toes feel nice. He says, I kind of want to just launch you into the middle of this thing so that you're just surrounded in everything that you are is just this relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit that you are enjoying. And so he fills us and he indwells us. And this quote from C.S. Lewis came to mind. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So just imagine you're at these pools of God's infinite, amazing love, but you're on the side digging, and you're trying to find some water underneath, and you're getting muddy and everything, and you're just trying to find when it's right there. All you got to do is just jump right in. And that's what we do. It's when we're in the flesh, when we don't see that in our natural self, we feel like we have to create all that life and delight and joy and love that God gives on our own. And the Spirit says, I gave you some swim trunks. I gave you an all-time pass. You can have as many punches as you like. You can stay here and just jump into this and experience it for yourself. And I think that, to me, is maybe the distinction between truly following and walking with God and moralism, right? So moralism says, I'm going to carve this out on my own. I'm going to do the right things. When God says, there's no need for that. I've provided everything. I just need you to jump in and experience it. So this idea in Romans 7, while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law in Christ, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. You need the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. It's not God saying, here's some new sets of rules. I had some old ones, now some new ones, and now I hope you can live up to these new ones. He's saying, no, there's a whole new way of being. There's a whole new way of living. Not according to the law, not according to what can I get out of it, what's in it for me, any of those old ways of thinking, but according to the Spirit, which never runs dry. You have a limitless well that's available to you, to all of us, that's never going to end. Oftentimes we get tired. We get done at the end of a day and we just say, oh, finally, I can rest and do what I want to do. A lot of times it runs through our heads. Even then, the Spirit is available to help us. Maybe you've had this thought. Sometimes I can have this really wrong way of thinking. I've done so many things for good for God. Now, finally, I get a chance for myself. I've served God so much that he's released me now to do what I want to do. So, no. Even in our recreating, in our resting, even in all that we do, to be filled in the Spirit's power of that. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. So Spirit's often compared to fire. Something that's dynamic. Something that is moving. To fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And again, just that idea that the Christian life is not us muscling through things. There's certainly calories expended, and there's certainly choices to kill the flesh, to sow to the Spirit. But it says we've been given a spirit of power. A spirit of power. I don't know about you guys, when you feel power, it's kind of undeniable. One time I remember at my grandparents' house, they were asking me to move the dryer back. And I didn't know at the time, I was pretty young, that dryer electrical outlets are a little bit more strong, right? There's a little bit more power running through that. So I reach back there and I grab the thing, but in the process, I get my hands on the actual plug. And I go, whoa, my whole arm goes numb, right? And it's like, whew, there's some power running through that. It's unmistakable when you encounter power. Are you experiencing power in your Christian life to live with Christ, to live with for God? Is it powerful? Do you feel something surging? Whatever you would describe that as. Something encouraging, something moving you, something giving life and energy, all of to that. Is there power there in that? That's what the Spirit, that's one of the things the Spirit has been given for us. So like I said, the Spirit often gets compared to fire. It gets compared to wind. I think, Don, you said wind. Gets compared to water. So these creative elements, it's not like Captain Planet kind of things. It's fire, wind, water, these things that are, they almost are alive. They're bringing life. They're dynamic. The Spirit is dynamic. And you think you see water or fire moving a certain way, and you go, I just love to stare at fire. Anybody else like to just watch fire? It's just so fun, just to watch fire or to watch the ocean, to see water flowing. And that's how the Spirit moves. And so key passage, right, is as Jesus is talking with Nicodemus. In a very moralistic, do-gooder Pharisee who's trying to do the things of God is trying to understand, Jesus, what does this look like? What is this eternal life? Right? So let's read some of this together, what Jesus answers Nicodemus. Truly, truly, I tell you to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So this moralistic do-gooder Pharisee says, I don't understand this life, Jesus, that you're living. Seems like you're connected to this source, and somehow you have authority in your words, and people are being healed. There's this power that's flowing through you. And Jesus says, I'm going to point you to the Spirit. I want to point you to the power that I'm living in. And it would be ridiculous for any of us, if there was a windstorm coming, to go out into the street and try to go, thinking that we're actually somehow helping that or resisting it. The wind is so much more powerful than anything we could ever create. The Spirit's work is unmistakable. And when the Spirit is moving and blowing like a wind, and there's kind of a play on words, because the word Spirit and wind and breath, they're all the same word. So just as much as I need that breath, I need the Spirit every second. God holding, sustaining. But just as much as God would move his Spirit to change things, we are powerless in and of ourselves to say, Holy Spirit's working, isn't it? Can't you guys feel the Spirit? Man, it's strong today. There's nothing. I'm powerless. God is the one that brings those rushes that are so powerful that nothing can resist it. And when his Spirit moves, it's powerful. And it changes us. And it's free. And just as the Spirit was hovering over the waters at creation, and then life happened. I think often of what is God's Spirit doing right now in North Korea? Is there's just this hovering, wanting to breathe life and for the wind to blow and for new things to come out of the ground spiritually. That's what the Spirit does, is it moves in that mighty way. And what's so cool is God is not in a box anymore. For a long time, God's presence was in a box, in the ark. And that's where you went to experience the presence of God. And it would have been right for people back then to say, I just feel like you're putting God in a box. Because they literally had God in a box with the cherubim. But this is what the Spirit's doing, is he now says, you're that box. God without walls. God is not boxed anymore because he lives in you. You get to carry the ark, the presence of God, into all the foreign places that God wants to take it and bring life. And you just think of those stories, if you read through the Old Testament where the ark got taken, and it's like, whoa, something's happening there. Whether there are like tumors happening or there are idols falling down, there was power where the ark and the presence of God was. And now you hold God's presence in you. Think of that power, right? Hudson Taylor said, since the days of Pentecost, has the whole church ever put aside every other work and waited upon him for 10 days that the Spirit's power might be manifested? We give too much attention to method and machinery and resources and too little to the source of power. Think about that. Again, often all of our efforts are just, Holy Spirit, please move. I don't even think the front row felt that. There's no power in our machinery that we could create to try to move God's Spirit to do things. It's waiting on him. And think about the book of Acts. What did they have that turned the world upside down? They didn't really have a whole lot written down. They may have started to get some fragments of some things written down, but they certainly didn't have Bibles in their pockets. They certainly didn't have a printing press churning out literature. So they didn't have that. They didn't have church buildings. They didn't have facilities that they could all meet in. They didn't have tracts that were made or resources. All they really had was their connection to the Spirit that turned the world upside down. And for sure, all of those resources, we want to get the Bible out into more places, and we want those resources. But just know, the Spirit is capable, when people are submitted and walking in it, to blow strongly, to do all those things. And for sure, there were days, I'm sure, that Peter or Paul or any of those guys woke up really fleshy, and they said, you know, I'm grumpy today, give me my oatmeal, or whatever, right? But by and large, the book of Acts is a group of people saying, we want to live by the Holy Spirit and its power, and whatever God would do, if he's going to transport me to talk to this person that's walking on a road from Ethiopia, if he's going to do whatever he wants, that power to flow out. Imagine if we viewed our lives in that way. There's no church buildings needed. There's no even Bible written. That is super helpful, and I'm so glad we have it. But in that, we have the power from God to walk fully and successfully and capably with him, to see all that happen. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? God is not boxed anymore if we will let him live through us. This is not, in my book, this is not a sanctuary. This is an auditorium that we gather in. You are a sanctuary of the living God. This is a place that we gather together as God's called out ones. So what is God up to? Is he's moving by his Spirit, and like he hovered over the waters, bringing new life, and he's calling. And what's so cool to me, in the book of John, you see every person of the Trinity, they're not passive. Every person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, is wanting to include and draw in and bring together. So it says, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent him draws him. So the Father is drawing. When I am lifted up from the earth, Jesus says, I will draw all people to myself. Jesus is drawing. The Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The Father is drawing, the Son is drawing, the Spirit is convicting. God is at work in this world. And today, if we don't cooperate or participate or want to do anything with him, he's still going to work in this world, because he has his will and purposes to accomplish. And by the Spirit, we get the choice to participate in that. Do you want to participate? Do you want to jump into that pool? Do you want to put on the swim trunks that God's given you and said, I don't want to just watch this. I want to jump in completely and experience all of that. We'll skip over this. This is a short video. We've shared a bunch of these before. I just encourage you, another resource they did not have in the book of Acts called the Internet and called the Bible Project. And these are just super helpful kind of short videos. They do them for different books of the Bible, for different themes. If you're looking for things that you'd like to go deeper in, it's just, I think it's bibleproject.org or .com, .gov, .whatever, one of those dots. And so this is just super helpful. We can, hopefully this will work. Wait.
Have you ever heard the phrase?
Kind of fun. Obviously, it's hard to pictorially show the Spirit. So I don't know if he's a zooming orange beam, but the idea there, that new life that he brings, and just really well done. These guys' hearts is just to really edify the body. Bible Project, really encouraging stuff. So the idea that sticks with me there is the hovering over darkness, hovering over chaos. Even in creation, when there was yet unformed anything, the Spirit was there. Think of all the hard places in our hearts, in our families, in the city, on your street. Do you see God as absent from that chaos? Absent from that corruption and that brokenness? Or is the Spirit hovering? Just waiting to bring new life. Waiting to breathe in to the things that are broken, healing and power and life. And just to say, my blowing is not going to cause that. The wind of the Spirit of God is going to do that. Where are you working, God? What are you wanting to accomplish? Where can I participate? Get my swim trunks on. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you've gone through the Perspectives course, you've heard this, and even if you haven't, you've probably heard this. But a lot of times we can view this as a command. This isn't a command. This is a promise. A promise. You will receive power. You will be my witnesses. I promise you that power that I'm giving to you in my Spirit, one of the big reasons is that your boldness and your courage to help other things that are dead come to life, to speak words of life, to speak words of hope, all of that, you will be my witnesses everywhere you go. God is not in a box anymore. He's in you and he's in me. Now, a few thoughts here. Life in the Spirit. And we went through this a lot, so this is more a reminder. As we went through Galatians, we talked a lot about this. A lot of the end of Galatians is about life in the Spirit versus life in the flesh. But just as a reminder, as we, I think, constantly need reminding, if we could remind each other to daily submit and walk in the Spirit, I think that's a great practice. Just to say, how can I help cooperate and participate with you that you might walk in that life? But Galatians 5, I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This war that we're all familiar with inside of us, and the idea of just being double-minded, of wanting to do but that which we cannot do, we feel powerless. And often, we try to do the fruit of the Spirit. We try to say, oh, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, God, I'm going to go do some patience. Okay, got to be really patient with my kids. I'm trying to be patient. Again, that's not the idea at all. It's if you are in that pool, you will be bearing those things. There's no energy needed. If I am in a wind storm or it's windy, if I hoist my sail, if I hoist a kite, there's automatically power. All I'm doing is capturing that which God is already doing. And for us, there is no doing of the fruit of the Spirit. God has to change us from the inside by being in the Spirit that those things are all produced together. It's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of submitting and giving access to. So and again, if we keep taking this analogy further and further, those pools, we can say, I'm going to divert. I'm going to block. I'm not going to let that water into this part of my heart. I'm not going to let the Spirit bring life there. And that's where we're choosing to operate in that old way of the flesh, of death. Life in the Spirit bears this fruit. And daily we have to choose, do I want to put to death that flesh, or do I want to try to have it my way? Everything in this world be pushing me towards my autonomy, my desires, my control? Or do I want to submit to the Spirit? And just to ask him, Spirit, what do you want to do? What do you want today? What would be heaven for you today? To walk in the Spirit or to get what you really want? To pursue Christ. All right, other analogies that Scripture gives us is of fighting and armor. And all these pieces of armor that come from the gospel. And again, really fun idea, just that every piece of the gospel gives us armor to stand. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. And if we just stopped there, every single one of those pieces are things that are granted us in the gospel. Breastplate of righteousness, helmet of truth, shield of faith. But if we just stopped there, what we would be is the 2015 Denver Broncos. We'd have an amazing defense and zero offense. And most of the time, when we are not walking in the Spirit, we may still be able to walk in defense, but don't you want offense in your spiritual battle? So to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So the best you can live moralistically without the Spirit is defense. You will have no offense without the Spirit working in your life. You may say, I held my opponent to 3, but you're still at 0. And that's a grueling, grinding way to live, of just always trying to say, no, 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 defense, 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 defense. And I don't know if you guys have seen, I wanted to show up, but then I did it, the Monty Python, right? You guys remember the Black Knight? If you haven't seen it, it's hilarious. King Arthur trying to cross a bridge, fights this Black Knight, hacks off his arm, says, come back here, right? And he wants to keep fighting, and he hacks off his other arm, and he tries to keep fighting. He knocks off his legs. He keeps trying to fight. It's like, oh, you're going to give up, right? And that we can be that Black Knight, as silly as that is. Without the offense of the Spirit, our arms are cut off. We have nothing of offensive power against evil, against sin, against our flesh, if we're not choosing to submit to the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want that offense. I want that power. All those areas where you say, I just need to keep trying harder here. I know this. I just need to keep working harder here. Perhaps have you said, I need some offensive firepower that I haven't yet accessed. I need something deeper. I need an arsenal here, Lord, for you to work with. So another thing the Spirit gives is he gives gifts. Every single person in the Spirit has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And gifts are always used. God always gives gifts for the building up of others because God is always others focused. God is always others including, others empowering. So the gifts that God gives us is to build others up. And in those gifts, we are not cessationists. We believe the Spirit is still at work. The Spirit is still doing things. It didn't stop after 100 AD. The Spirit is still healing. The Spirit is still bringing those with apostolic passion to go to where people do not know Christ and he's not named. The Spirit is still doing all of those things and all of those gifts for the building up of the body together. And if you keep reading through Paul's ideas through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, what the cornerstone hinge point of all of the gifts that we've been given is love, right? To operate all of those things, the greater way is in love. So we could be the most spiritually gifted body in all of Loveland and North Colorado in the whole world. And yet, if we are not first basking in the love of God in that pool and letting that love flow, we're nothing. We're a noisy gong. All of our mercy, all of our giving, all of our prophetic encouragements, whatever it might be, if it's not first in that pool of God's love that he's sharing with the Father, with the Son, and that we're in, they're nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right, the last couple ideas here. And then I thought we could end with a song just to let God and say, Holy Spirit, we want to participate in what you're doing. But last thought here. This thought just dawned on me this week that it's not only Jesus that suffered, which he did so courageously, but the Spirit himself also suffers. When we say, I know, Holy Spirit, this is what you're asking. This is where you're leading me, and I'm going to say no. I'm not going to participate. Has that ever thought crossed your mind that the Holy Spirit suffers? It says that we can grieve him, that we can quench the Spirit. Have you ever been super excited about something? So excited to do something. And everybody goes, yeah, no. Absolutely not. Wet blanket. We can do that to the Spirit. The Spirit can say, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this. To bring life here and to move into something that's so uncomfortable for you now, but is going to bring so much good later. And we go, yeah, no. No thanks. That grieves him. That's quenching that fire. And he doesn't say, and now I'm out of here. I'm going to give you the cold shoulder for the next 3 hours. His perfect love. But it does hurt. It does grieve him. And it's our opportunity daily to walk in that joy of the Spirit and that he would not have to feel that pain. Every single one of us has the opportunity every day to be fully Spirit-filled and experience life in Christ. We have that opportunity every day. The first century church did not have comfortable chairs. They didn't have climate-controlled heating. They didn't have Bibles everywhere. They didn't have all of the stuff that we think is so important. They had connection through the Spirit, walking daily as the community of God together. That's where the power flowed from. And every single one of us has that same potential and same opportunity every day to live and abide and have him fill us to the full. So just a question, as you think, you can close your eyes if you like, if it's helpful to picture. Have you been swimming in the love of God? Is this an experiential thing that you recently, today, in your life are living? Or do you just see the picture of Father and Son and view it from afar? Is it something that you've seen and heard about, but you've never yet experienced and jumped into? There's so much that God wants to give you and pour out to you and for you to experience and feel. And often people can say, I just feel so excited, and someone says, I just could not imagine feeling that way. The Spirit's just saying gently, come to the pool of God's great love. There's room for you. And sometimes you're going to live in that pool and it's just going to be filled with tears. And I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to be alongside you. And often you're going to be in that pool and you're just going to be so joy-filled and peace-filled and love-filled. That is your birthright in Christ, to be filled and walk in the Spirit and to experience that. So as Dan and Edgar and Jeff come up, we're going to sing one last song. Just an invitation for you in your heart to say, I want that wind, I want that fire, I want that water, I want that experience of God filling me. As he filled the tabernacle, the presence of God is not in a box, it's in you and me.